your place. Hi everyone, this is Brad Bristow and I'm the lead campus pastor here at Cornerstone Church in Airdrie, and I want to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that you would be inspired, encouraged, challenged, and your faith would be built. Enjoy the message. As family, we go.
Your place. Here we go. I pray. Your house, your place. Yes, it does. Our praise becomes your house, your place. That's it. Our praise.
Have you ever had the sensation of drawing a blank on something that's so familiar to you? Perhaps it's somebody's name. It's somebody that you're super familiar with, you've known them for years, and it's gone, right? That way. Or maybe it's a word that you're trying to explain what it means, or an event that you should be able to recall because it happens maybe every week and you just somehow forget it. For me, it often happens when I'm talking to Levi. He's my son. And sometimes, you know, I'm trying to tell him something and I use a word that he doesn't yet understand. And he'll ask me, what's that mean? And now I have to explain a word that's so familiar that I've just completely drawn a blank on what it actually means. And then I've got to, you know, ponder, like, how do I explain this to a three-year-old? And sometimes it goes well, sometimes it doesn't. I feel like sometimes he walks away and he's like, I have no idea what my dad just said. Other times it's like, he learned a new thing. It's like, you feel accomplished. You're like, yes. Or how about this, for example. Tracy, I mentioned last week, we've been married for 11 years. And her dad's name is Jürgen. He's a good German fellow. And he has trouble just recognizing people's faces. Could be people he's known for years, but he just can't recognize them. He used to participate in the Passion Play in Drumheller. I don't know if you know what that is, but I would definitely recommend that you go and see it. But it's a play about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And it's put on in Drumheller. And putting on this play takes a lot of work, a lot of hours. They go from, they camp there every weekend from the May long weekend all the way till the middle of June. So it's quite a significant portion of time. You're spending 3-4 days together with all these people. And, you know, you get to know each other pretty well. You sit around the campfire, you talk about stuff, generally deep stuff. I don't know about you, but a lot of the deep conversations that I've had in my life have been sitting around a campfire just talking with people. There's just something about the atmosphere, the campfire, that whole thing. But the thing is that when Jürgen sees one of these people that he's known and spent so much time with outside of the Passion Play, he has no idea who they are. Draws a complete blank. He just, for some reason, just can't connect the thing that these people, he actually knows these people. And sometimes that can happen for us with Christian things. Words especially. How about a word like propitiation? Do you have any idea how many times I had to practice to say that right? I sat at my desk for like 10 minutes just listening to the person on Google say it, and then I had to repeat it back. That's how you learn things. Google. I'm just kidding. Well, Google does have a lot of good things. But, you know, someone responds with, we use the word propitiation, and someone responds with, well, what does that mean? And then you're like, well, propitiation. As if that helps. And I'll explain propitiation in a few minutes. We'll get there. Just in case you've also drawn a complete blank. But sometimes we draw this complete blank on words that should be or are so familiar when we need to actually explain them. It could be just because we're put on the spot, and sometimes your brain just goes like eject when you get put on the spot, and I know how that is. But the last little while, I've had some conversations about one of those words, and I've begun to notice that there's a lot of people that just can't explain it. Even though it's so familiar, it's such a concept that we should just be able to rattle off right away. It stops people. It trips them up. It's for something so central to what we believe. Oh, I jumped ahead of myself. So pretend we're in a conversation, and I ask you to explain this word. Are you ready? The gospel. Now, for some of us, maybe not all, we have just drawn a complete blank on how to explain the gospel. And for something so central to what we believe as Christians, it's interesting that some of us, even me, draw a blank on how to explain what is the gospel. What does that mean? So since September, I've been going to the Burt Church High School here in Airdrie, and participating in their Christian club. So I've been playing some music and speaking and doing all sorts of things like that. And every club in school has to be kind of driven by the kid. So what they want to learn, what's on their heart for their club. And so a few of them talked about being able to share their faith, that was something that they wanted to be able to do, to be bold and to be able to share with their friends without, you know, hesitation, and to be able to do that. So as I prepared to talk about how to share your faith, and I talked about using your story and all that kind of thing. And then I realized through conversations after talking about that only a couple of them could actually articulate what the gospel was or is. And so for me, I had to think, okay, I need to backtrack a little bit here and to help them understand what it is they're looking to share with their peers. We had to kind of put the brakes on and go back to the basics. So this morning, what I'd hopefully like to do is give you the ability to not draw a blank. Give you some tools in your toolbox to be able to answer that question easily, something so familiar. And maybe some encouragement to think about, to process what you would say if you were to explain the gospel. Because we can't share what we don't know, and the more we practice, the better we get at it. There's a lot of different ways you can talk about the gospel, and so the one that I'm going to share is just one of the many ways that you can use to share the gospel. So we're going to look at the book of Romans this morning. We're kind of going to jump around a little bit, so you have to play a little bit of sword drills. Does anybody know what sword drills are?
Yes.
Yeah. So little sword drill going on, so we'll get there. So the book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. Pretty simple. Paul was writing to a church he had never been to. So most of Paul's letters are to churches that he had planted, to churches that he is so familiar with what they were dealing within their cities and all of that kind of stuff. And so Paul was writing to a church that he had never been to. But from the way Paul writes, there seems to be that someone came to him with, there's some tension within the church. There's something that's just hard to get past for these people. And the tension was between the Jewish Christians in Rome and the Gentiles who had become Christians through the spreading of the gospel message. And we can't know for sure that someone actually came to Paul and said, this is what we're dealing with, this is all the things, but we can kind of grasp it from what he writes about in chapter 2, that at least some of the issue that Paul knew about within the church in Rome was that there was a bit of a clash between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. And so Paul takes some time within the book of Romans to look at what the gospel is, to look at what the truth of the gospel is, and to make sure that they're on the same page as he is when he says, this is the gospel message. Because there are people, because he didn't go to the church and plant that church, he didn't know what they had been taught leading up to this point. And so Paul kind of goes on a refresher course right from the beginning of theology around Jesus and what we believe in regards to the crucifixion and his resurrection. And so there's a whole lot of really good meaty stuff in Romans. And so Paul really dives into a lot of these things. And so in Romans, there's a series of verses. They're not sequential or anything. But they do a really great job looking at them for explaining what the gospel is and how the gospel can lead to salvation through Jesus Christ. So we're going to take a look at these verses in an effort to help give you some tools, again, to help you share your faith and to help you have an easy, prepared answer for when you're asked to give an answer for the hope of which you believe, and to not, you know, draw a blank, like on all sorts of other things that we draw blanks on. So the first verse is going to be Romans 3:23, and it sets up the state that we're in without Jesus. It says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." It's important to the gospel story that we show that there is a need for God in our lives. We don't have to look far into our own lives to know that we've all made mistakes. We've all sinned. We've all messed up. I can just look to my son Levi, who is only 3, and see that when someone takes his toy, even if he's not playing with it, he gets really mad and tries to steal it back. You know, he doesn't. Playing nice is not something that we just naturally do. We have to teach it. And it's no coincidence, really, that because of sin, we have to be taught how to treat each other. We have to be taught how to treat each other well. It's just not a natural thing for us to do. Because of sin, we just have this kind of leaning towards selfishness and towards doing the thing that is best for us. So in some of Paul's writings, he writes about the struggle between this nature of which he calls the flesh and the desires of the spirit. So what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do. And he talks about the struggle that we all have in that. And so we know that through Christ we can overcome, but there's still this tension within us of we have a tendency towards sin. And the next verse in line talks about the consequences of this sin and why it's important to the story of the gospel. So in Romans 6:23, it says that for the wages of sin is death. I'm going to just pause right there on the second half of the verse for a second. For we know that we all sinned, and now we can see what the penalty for that is, what the consequence for our sin is supposed to be. And because of our sin, we have earned that penalty. God decided that this was the consequence for sin, and we've all earned it. It wasn't just physical death. If you look to the story in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't just that physical death was going to happen, but it was actually that spiritual death was now going to happen. And that we are, because of sin, we are spiritually dead. And it might seem like a bit of a severe penalty for taking an apple or a fruit and eating it. But what it really serves to show us is how seriously God takes sin. It doesn't matter if it's a big sin or a little sin, if it's lying or murder or whatever it is, God takes sin very seriously. And so now we can see the state that we are in because of sin, because death has come into the world. But then Jesus shows up. The second half of the verse gives us our hope. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So sin equals death, but our sinless Jesus came to take that sin upon himself and bring life to his creation. This shows us the beauty of the gospel. It is a free gift offered to all. There's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to deserve it. It's a free gift. And that leads us to the next verse, which is found in Romans 5:8, which says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So the beauty of this verse is that it says we don't have to have it all figured out before we can accept Jesus. We don't have to clean up our act before we come to Jesus. That's not how it works. He doesn't want you to do that because coming to Jesus will clean up your act. It says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Cannot earn it. It is a free gift. He has taken away our sin by his sacrifice once and for all. In Psalm 103, King David wrote it like this. He said, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. The other thing is that Jesus chose to die for us whether or not we were going to choose him. I'll say it again. Jesus chose to die for us whether or not we were going to choose him. It wasn't a question in his mind of, I'm doing this because they're going to choose me. He said, I'm going to do this anyway. And I want them to choose me. That is my desire. That is my heart. But he was going to do it anyway. The Apostle John, who was one of the 12 disciples, he wrote it like this in 1 John 2:2. He says, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, or not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. There it is, propitiation. Practice it, got to use it. Now, this is where I said we're coming back to it. This is where we're going to go into the word propitiation a bit, because I'm used to speaking to teenagers and I'm uncomfortable using a word that I had to look up and make sure that I was using it right so that I could share it with them. So you're my teenagers this morning. I mean, there's a couple here anyway. But I'd like to just break it down and give some insight to its meaning. And second, the reason I want to go into it is because it's fairly essential to what the gospel is. The word propitiation has a bit of a two-part meaning. The first is more of a covering or appeasement. This is the word that's used in Hebrew, the equivalent in Hebrew, to describe the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. So it's the covering of the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was the only acceptable covering for our sins. The second part is one of reconciliation. Now, I know you just used a big word to explain another big word, so that wouldn't work with Levi. He would make me explain it again. So here I am explaining it again. Reconciliation means it's a restoration of relationship. So the second part to understanding propitiation is that of a restoration of what was intended to be. It is a restoration of our relationship with God through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. The relationship as God intended it to be, right from the beginning. All we have to do is accept it. Which leads us to the next verse in Romans. So Romans 10:9 says, I did not put Romans 10:9 in there. So I will read it for you. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's nothing else. There's no tricks, no hoops, no fiery hoops that you have to jump through. If you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. That's simple. End of story. All done. We don't have to earn this free gift. Once we do, our lives will look different. But our lives should show this change by our actions, not before, but after. All that matters to salvation is belief and confession. Confessing Jesus' lordship acknowledges our place in all of this. That we are not number one, as the world would like you to believe, as the Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever it is, they're so me-focused. This is the world, this is the message of the world, is that it's all about you, right? But our understanding is that it's actually not about us, it's about him. The world does not revolve around us. It revolves around him and the Son. Belief in the truth that Jesus died a horrible death on the cross, but didn't stay there, that God raised him from the grave, is essential to our faith. It is essential to our hope. We do not serve a dead God, but rather we serve one who conquered death. And the last verse in the sequence of verses, if you're familiar at all, this is called the Romans Road, just in case you wanted to look it up again. Last verse is Romans 5:1. That gives us the results of our belief and confession. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's another big word, so here's the explanation. Being justified simply means that you have been brought into right standing in the eyes of God. You have become righteous, good, and excellent. That's how he sees us. Part of the peace that comes from our faith is knowing that our past sins, our mistakes, don't matter. That's not to say that there couldn't still be consequences, but they're not going to be held against us by God. Romans 8:1 tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God does not hold these things against us anymore because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That he loves us so much that there is nothing that can come between us. He has paid our penalty. He has paid our price. And because of this, we share in Christ's victory. We share in his victory over sin, over death, over anxiety, over financial things, over whatever it is that you are dealing with in your life. He has given us victory. In the end of Romans will tell us this, or Romans chapter 8, sorry, will tell us this in 37. It says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, hear that, anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is simply the message of the gospel. It's that we have sinned and we need a savior. It's because of his great love for us. He chose to give up his life for our punishment, which our sin earned, death. And he did that while we were still in our sins. And all we have to do is confess that he is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. So I don't know where you are with your walk with Jesus this morning. I don't know if any of all of this is just a helpful reminder, a tool in the toolbox to be able to share what we believe. And I don't know if this is something you've heard before but not chosen to believe in, or something you've never heard but would like to believe in. But I do know is that we have a God who is offering us a share in his victory. The battle belongs to him. He has already won, and he is still offering his hand for us to share in that victory. Why? Because of his great love for us. God sent Jesus into the world because of this love. That verse is so familiar. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. I'm going to invite the worship team back up this morning. The world we live in needs to see the love of God shining through us. They need to see us living in that victory that he calls us to. In the mundane, in the extravagant, let us live our lives worthy of the calling to which we have been called, doing everything for his glory.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at CS Airdrie on Twitter and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go. Your open arms and the beauty of your face. Through tears of joy I lift my voice in everlasting praise. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Oh death,
it's
And on the day, and on the day you call me in to heaven's sweet embrace, I see your scars, your open arms, and the beauty of your face. Through tears of joy, I lift my voice in everlasting praise.